Welcome to Spiritually Naked, where physical and non-physical worlds collide, offering a refreshing concoction of optimism and realism. It's time to strip down the barriers of limiting beliefs, to master the art of manifestation and synchronized living. Everything you need to live an inspired, awakened life is within your grasp. Start creating the life you desire today with Spiritually Naked as your guide to simplifying complicated issues for real life change. Now here are your hosts, Steve and Stephanie Banks.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us here tonight on Spiritually Naked. I'm your host, Stephen Banks, and I'm here with my partner and co-host, Stephanie Banks, who in the second portion of our program will channel for us a collective consciousness named Solomon. Joining us tonight, we have with us Barbara Wythe, who is an award-winning author, composer, performer, workshop facilitator, inspirational speaker, and a psychic channel who has been working with a group of souls she refers to as the Party of 12, who are headed up by none other than Albert Einstein. She has authored 5 books on metaphysics, and her new book, Einstein, Conflict, Revolution, and the New Operating System, was recently released in December. And thank you for joining us here with us tonight, Barbara. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. So, Einstein, this is very interesting how you're working with Albert Einstein. Can you tell me a little bit about working with him and how he presented himself to you?
Well, part of the whole picture of working with Einstein is so much the story of how it came to be, because it wasn't something I just decided I was going to go do. It was kind of something that snuck up on me and was sort of given to me in pieces, you know, so I could mentally prepare for it, because it's been challenging.
I bet.
Through 2 various times of my life, I've gone insane.
I can't think of anyone right now who would think that it wouldn't be challenging to channel anyone, let alone Albert Einstein.
But why not, right?
Yeah.
Well, and the story is so intriguing, and there's so many pieces of it that, but really wanting to come to you guys today and right now talk about as a channel, the channel, too. You know, because I have listened to Solomon, and it's all the information, you know, everything is being said in different ways. But Einstein has taken the description to such an intense level of being able to articulate creation from nothing, you know, into one, into two, into three, in such a way that is, well, it's worthy of him, whatever. If you believe it's him or not, doesn't really matter to me. But the information is so profound. And everyone who kind of gets sucked into this orbit of the, you know, information kind of agrees. It is a unique story. So I started out as a singer and a writer, composer, which is just like channeling. You reach into the nothing and you bring out a song. If you write a song, it's the same process. And I did that very young. So when I started to channel, I was familiar with that feeling. And I was actually seeing a channel in Minneapolis for many years, studied under her. So I knew what the energy was about. But it was never anybody. It was never ghosts or dead people or famous dead people, or it was just, I was like an antenna and I could pick up information and tell it back to you in a way that was really well put together and articulate that made you think and go, whoa, wait a minute, and see things differently and go away from the reading kind of like, wow, yeah, let's do that. That's what I knew.
And so did you, I'm just curious, because everyone's story and introduction is so different oftentimes. Were you working with this other channel and then try channeling yourself, or did all of a sudden you just start hearing things and feeling things?
It was spontaneous automatic writing.
Okay, yeah, that's how I started too.
And from there it went to speaking like the woman who I saw did. And it really became about the betterment of your life as opposed to readings about, you know, is your boyfriend coming back?
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. I'm the same way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But people still asked, and they should have, because apparently Einstein and this theory that he's trying to bring forth through this work that we've been doing about how people change yourself, how people change themselves first, based on this model now that he's giving us, this very simple three-dimensional model, and seeing if it really works. Everything that he's devised now from afterlife, he's come back, he's given us maps to show us why he exists and how it is that he's telling us this, you know, the maps of the unified field and how matter is manifest into the universe. It's really quite brilliant, and I get lost in it sometimes.
So what, can you elaborate a little bit on those theories that he's talking about?
Yes. It's a system conflict revolution is what we call it. And we shake our hands a little bit and make sure, you know, it's not resolution, it's revolution. It's a completely different way of approaching conflict and bringing peace, as Albert Einstein fought his whole life when he was alive to do. So from afterlife, he's figured out how it all works. He's created these maps. He's found us, a bunch of us crazy people who have followed him for decades and worked with me and worked with the information. And this process he has given us, we teach to other people, we use among ourselves, and it's based on three human dimensions of intuition, intellect, and emotion. And the way that these three energies work in conjunction and separate from each other is a new approach. For example, and you've seen this in your work, I know you have, where more and more over the past 10 years, suddenly feeling and breathing is like a medicinal remedy, you know? Just feeling your feelings and using your breath to center yourself and move energy through you is far more acceptable than having to, you know, work out your feelings through your dramas. So being able to feel emotion independently of what you're thinking. And in between there is that intuition. And all of this fits into a mirror puzzle. So conflict revolution, first of all, shows you the whole unified field theory. I make you sit through the creation as I channel it and map it out live. And then we take conflicts and we pull them apart and we put them into this map. And we see them from an entirely different way. So that's a really broad sense, but on a very practical level, it's about feeling and breathing in the moment. You know, we've all been told, get away from your fear. Fear is bad. And yet there it is. So what are we going to do with it? Well, we're going to breathe it. You know, we're going to move it as an energy. It's part of us. Let's move it. Doesn't matter if we got it because dad, you know, was bad to us as a kid, or, you know, if you said something to me, if there's a fear and a pain and one of those negative emotions, we have to use those conflicted emotions to our advantage in a regenerative way. And that's what this Einsteinian work that I'm bringing forward addresses. And I, forgive me, as I said, sometimes I have a difficult time. It's so big and broad, you know. And everything fits into our maps.
So when you talk about, I'm just trying to understand here, because when you're talking about taking the idea of your intuition, your intellect and your emotions and the conflict that we go, that we experience, or at least we focus on, is the idea in some way to understand on a, from a different perspective, those different aspects about ourselves in order to see things in a different way. Is that kind of what you mean?
Yes. And not just see it, but then take control of it.
Right. So that at that point, you'd understand how to process it in a healthier way.
To process your own energy. And it's all built upon this initial structure that he presents as far as the conflict revolution and the unified field theory and the maps of human consciousness. It's almost as if once I show the whole picture, which takes more than you and I can do right now, and then we take everybody's conflict. So you would bring a conflict, a real one, you know, my aunt, she drives me insane, or, you know, I'm never going to make it in the blah, blah, blah. And we plug it into this formula. So we take just the intellectual part of it. What are you thinking about it? What's the story around it? Then we take just the emotional part, isolated. And what's that feeling? You know, anger, sadness, blah, blah, blah. And in between there, the intuition represents the voice of the whole that wants you to take action for the good of all three of these parts of you. And you know, and I know, so often our intellect gets in control, and there's so much going on there, and there's so much energy burning, and we're not always letting our emotions flow through us for whatever reason. And it's harder to hear that voice of intuition that's there to tell you that next step for the good of the whole situation, whatever it is, whatever you're faced with. So we're trying to create sort of a model, a conditional, like, operating system, I guess, to where when you face a conflict or you go out into the world, that you have this new way of processing your own energy. And I'm telling you, 82% of the time now, more than 20 years ago, I do not have to engage anybody in a conflict, in a drama. I do, but 82% less in my life because I'm taking care of me before I create some drama that I need to go learn from. You know, I'm processing my energy in a new way. I'm taking responsibility. And because of that, creativity is what is the byproduct, is that there's so much more energy to create. And what do we want to create? What do you want to create? You know?
And I think that's such a key component. And in a lot of the readings that I do for people, not always, but often, what comes up is the need to engage with creativity, the need to engage your imagination and to find the way to do that. And to me and to Solomon and probably to yourself and Einstein as well, is to remove the distractions. In other words, removing the drama, removing all the exterior layers that go along with conflict, and just being able to really deal with it quickly and efficiently, and the repercussions of that in terms of the ripple effect throughout the community, and then the communities around you, and then the world, are really quite enormous.
Yes, absolutely. And just your own life, though, the peace and the passion and the power that you bring to your own life. And we all know how to do this. It's just what you said was, how do you get, people know processes, you know what to eat to lose weight, you know what to do, but what is that magic thing that makes you then go do it? You know, that's kind of what I like to wonder about, is what will it take to get me, you know, to stand up and do that passionate, creative thing that my imagination wants me to.
I think about that every day.
And would that involve tapping into the unified field theory? Like, I really want to know more about that.
The unified field theory?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The latest real science, I'll call it. This is real science, not my channeling. But what I read in scientific journals and from the scientists is that they are they have pretty much stumbled upon what they're referring to as the unified field theory, which was what Einstein was searching for, you know, until the day he died. And it's how things can work on the very microscopic in the very same way it works on the very macro. And up until now, they haven't been able to find a formula that where it works in both places. And the unified field theory is that theory, where it brings together everything and it all operates the same on the tiny, 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 or on the great big. And the way Einstein explains it in this is that we look at the Earth. Close your eyes and pretend you see the Earth. We're out in the heavens, like in a halo around the Earth, and we're looking down at it. It's beautiful. It's blue and brown and, you know, the clouds and the haze, whatever, life on Earth. That is also your, what he calls, a compilation of consciousness, which I think describes the matrix of the Earth. You know, we're projecting onto it from outer space and we see the mountains and all. But if we take all that away, it's the same structure that you and I and you, Stephanie, begin as on our step-by-step way, you know, creating the universe outward. So that's you. Your energy at its tiny, tiny, tiniest. It's called M theory, which is a membrane domain, they call it, that surrounds all of the mathematics that are going to be you, Stephanie. And then you have yours, and it surrounds all of yours, and they overlap. And from that one particle of consciousness springs all of the universe that you're experiencing in your bodies right now.
Right. And that makes sense to me.
So that's the unified field theory part of it. But what I love about this work, as I investigate, and this is something I'm going to ask Solomon, but as I investigate what science is bringing forth right now, we have then a map of human consciousness. We have a map of how these three dimensions work, and of course there's many more than just these three, but these we call the three human dimensions. These are the ones we work with every day, you know, where you check in, how you're feeling, you know, what's going on in your intellect, what is your intuition telling you at any given moment. So that's kind of what we work with every day. And we have a way to inspire people as well. That's what I love about this, is that it inspires you when you see the results of it, and that you already know so much, don't you? I mean, you already know so much of this.
Yeah, we all
do. I think we all do on some level, and that's the thing I love about the information that's coming in the way it's coming from Einstein, from Solomon, from Abraham, from, you know, all the... From
your
grandmothers, who are ancestors, whatever, it's that it's more of a bringing forth memories that are sort of lying dormant and buried behind beneath all the human rubbish that we're tapping back into.
Yes, yes, and the conflict. What conflict revolution addresses in that is that. It's not like the physical world we live in, you know, with our bodies. This is the temporary thing. You know, this is not the end all and be all in our physical bodies. There's a big mechanism at play here so that when our bodies die, this energy still has a kind of a form to it. But this is the byproduct of what our intention is, isn't it? That we would come here and be human beings and somehow make a difference, be here at this time to be these kinds of visionaries and shine this light. It's such an exciting time, and yet it's also, well, again, I have some questions.
What came to mind when you were saying that was, and I don't even know exactly what it was that you said specifically, but it was interesting. What went through my head was that our ability, in my opinion, our ability to connect with our intuition, which then, in my opinion anyways, connects us to the other realms where we're able to access our friends on the non-physical, let's say, is, I think, at a high. I think there's an ability right now for us to really learn to utilize our intuition, to hear it, to understand it. And by the tools that that you're providing is one of those ways to enable people to shed the layers and get back to our roots, which are being in touch with our intuition that then guides us in the most appropriate direction for the good of all.
Yes. And the beauty that I'm seeing is that it's more like a revelation going on, you know, just like people seeing this information and then remembering, like you said, oh, I know all this. And I am all this. And changing the way on a daily basis that we process energy, especially in this time of great conflict. I just had a birthday and my sister gave me Einstein on Peace, which is a book of his actual writings from 1914 till he died. So for the first time ever, I actually read a book of his thoughts and his actual words when he was alive. And his whole life, I mean, I knew it. He told me from after, you know what I mean? I knew this, but to read it from a book published in 1960, where the man just spent his last dying breath trying to bring peace to the world, to undo the atomic bomb that he had just created, feeling rather evil, I imagine, you know, in that point, and remorseful. So there's a lot of... go ahead.
I'm curious about one quick thing here. Did Einstein develop the atomic bomb?
No, his formula helped develop it, but he wrote a letter to Roosevelt during the war. He left Germany because they were obviously... they were persecuting him, they were slandering him, and they were trying to seize his property, and he had already had a job at Princeton. So he just left, wisely, you know, in the 30s. And he wrote to the president and urged him to develop nuclear weapons. Because in that moment, his fear of Hitler and his fear of what happened in Germany, and rightfully so, I mean, look what happened. And then look what happened after he begged the president the only way to really deal with peace is to have such a big threat that they have to back down. That was his thinking when he wrote the president. And then the president did it, and then they dropped the bomb on Japan. And I don't think he ever really got over that.
Well, have you asked him?
Well, yeah. I mean, he that's part of this incredibly intense and lifelong, because this is a lifelong story for me. This is a lifelong relationship with him and how he came to reveal himself. Because I was an antenna, right? That's what my mentor taught me. There was no anything. You're just an antenna and you tell him. And so to suddenly have him appear was settling. And I want to go back to what you were saying earlier, too, about, you know, whether it's Solomon or Einstein or you're just an antenna. It doesn't matter. Because it's this universal energy of creative resource that we're in, you know, this magnificent field of energy that's even allowing us to, like you said, hello from Lake Superior. I'm on an island in Lake Superior. We're in this magical field of creation even as we speak. And what are we going to do with that? How are we going to further that since we're here to do it? So,
well, I think the more of us that can begin to have our, that can begin to access our communications to all of our friends that we can't see that are there to support us, that are part of our journey, that are part of us, that are, you know, lived at one point on earth, but now don't or never have, and just support us from the non-physical, whatever you want to call it. The more of us that are communicating from that level, the better, in my opinion, because it is such a powerfully strong, unifying, integrating relationship. And then for myself anyways, you can't help but then live that way with your physical friends, with the world.
Mm-hmm. Once you know, it's difficult to really walk any other line or at least continue to explore those ideas. And like Barbara had said, and maybe Einstein had said, is now is a time, a great time of change, a great time to be here. And this is why. So more people are tuning in and tapping into those ideas. But we're out of time for this portion of the program, Barbara. Would you like to tell our audience where they can find you and your book?
Yes, it's Party of 12 with a 1-2. Partyof12.com. Party of 12. And everything you'd ever want to know about any of it is all there. So thank you for that.
Yeah, we encourage everyone to check it out. It's fascinating. I think that we should definitely have you back on the show because 25 minutes is just not long enough.
It's not long enough. I still have a lot of questions, so I'll have to go to the website as well. But everyone out there, stay tuned, and we'll be back with Barbara and Solomon.
It is our pleasure to be here with you in this time, in your space, of this current reality of yours that you are living as a human being, as you are living as human beings on this planet, this wonderful, beautiful, spectacular planet of yours. We marvel at the beauty, yet we are saddened at times by the state in which it is currently. We come to you with a mutual understanding between us and you, that we are here to support you, to guide you, to assist you on whatever levels of creation you desire. There are certain things we cannot answer at this time. There are certain directions in which your questions may lead us into another direction, not necessarily the direction that you originally requested, but know that we are here supporting you from a higher level of understanding, yes? We would like to say thank you for inviting us to participate in this conversation. We would like to offer you this opportunity to put forth your questions and your queries, and we will do our best to appease your curiosities.
Yeah, I have a few questions.
Yes, we know.
Given the state of the world at this time in space-time, how do you see the practical evolving through this phase that we're in? Because clearly, as we talked about in the first half about Einstein and Adolf Hitler targeting him to persecute him and discredit him and seize his possessions, and would have probably killed him. So we're in a new phase where this seems to be repeating. And I don't want to ramble, but just that question of how are we going to elegantly get through this without having to blow ourselves up then? Because it's pretty scary.
By not continuing to attempt to solve the same problems with the same solutions that are not really solutions, yet many of you on the planet look at these as solutions. Look at the idea of war as a solution to a problem, to an underlying problem. It is about getting to the root of the problems on the planet, getting to the root of the problems that lie within humanity, not eternity, not the eternal being of who you are, but from a human level, a very human level, yes? So the idea of looking inward, although highly connected to the idea of source, the idea of all that is, the idea of God, the idea of whatever word you choose to use, by looking within, you are allowing yourself the opportunity to become more in alignment with the grander, broader picture of who you are. But just as importantly, it is about becoming in tune with who you are as a human being and how you are portraying yourself to the world, how you are portraying yourself to you. Are you being honest with who you are to yourself and to others? Are you living in such a way that you are acting in the highest sense of the word consciousness, of choosing your actions appropriately in the moment that are more representative of the collective? In other words, refraining from choosing the option that is just going to be beneficial to you and those you love directly, yes? So the problems on the planet are a fundamental issue that runs deeply into the human being consciousness. Becoming more aware of your characteristics of a human being, of your tendencies, of your behaviors, of your actions that are derived from how you're viewing the world, your worldly views, your views of yourself. This is the deep questions that we pose to you. Now, as a global human family, one of you is not going to necessarily be able to influence the entire planet in one moment. Yes, this would be a high expectation. We would suggest bringing it closer to home and doing what you can from a personal level that you feel good about at the end of the day, at the end of the moment, at the end of a decision, knowing that you have made the best decision you can based on what you know about yourself, based on what you know about eternity, based upon what you know about divine creation, based upon what you know about the unified field, as some would say, yes? Tapping into a broader understanding and living your life as a human being from the vantage point of a more compassionate life for not just yourself, but the planet as a whole. And when enough of you begin to exhibit new characteristics, new behaviors, the new idea of human interaction with one another, in terms of unifying, coming together, dissolving borders, removing limitations and restrictions. The more of you that are moving in this direction, eventually the global community as a whole will come together. But as you know, you are in a time of conflict, you are in a time of extremes, you are in a time when, let's just say, good and bad, we do not look at it this way, but we are speaking your language, so for ease and clarity, we will say good and bad are coming to a head. The battle is on, yes? Do you not feel this? So now more than ever, yeah, it is imperative that each one of you become more reflective of who you are and how you are influencing and infiltrating from an energetic level those around you that then infiltrate and influence those around them. And this does not need to mean that your energetic vibration is limited to this small space, 12, 20 feet around you. We are talking from a broader perspective here. Understanding how your individual yet collective vibration in your moment-to-moment-to-moment choices impacts the rest of your human family, impacts the universes around you, yes?
Yes, and that is exactly why, as I turned 62, I decided that conflict revolution was such a E equals MC squared process that got to that root and seeing that work in the individuals of those of us who have, you know, used this in our lives and changed our operating system so that I don't deal with conflict the same way that I ever did. And what if the whole world did this? What if everybody took responsibility for their feelings and their thoughts and everybody committed to doing what was for the best, for the good of the whole?
What we find entertaining, and we say this in a very loving way, of course, is how many of you on the planet are very quick to update your phones whenever there's an update required. Now is the time to update your own, as you say, operating system. Times are changing. Get with the times, yes? There is no need to live in an old energy. There's no need to continue to live in an old paradigm. There's no need to continue trying to solve the same problems with the same methods, yes? Use creative, imaginative, new perspectives to create balance within yourselves and others. Use your imagination and your creative skills, your pure consciousness to create the life that you feel is most appropriate to represent the entire planet. When each individual on the planet achieves this, at least enough of you, there will be enough momentum to begin to make the changes, which we see happening. It is difficult at your time to see these changes, but we see them. Yes, we see them. They are happening. They're transpiring. Along with them, however, is the old energy bubbling up even more, bubbling up, fighting back, not wanting to let go. Is this not similar to how many of you feel inside from time to time when dealing with your emotions, dealing with your feelings, dealing with repetitive thoughts? You feel the inner conflict. That inner conflict is very representative of the entire human consciousness. Therefore, when you understand how it operates within your own system, you can then understand how it influences and affects and is being interpreted from a more global point of view. Yes?
Yes. And in fact, understanding that is your universe. You know, your universe, your consciousness.
There is no separation between the two. The idea of separation is simply a human construct. It's a concept within the human being, but there is no real truth to this idea. What you're experiencing and feeling inside is the exact same that is being reflected on the outside. There is no difference. It is all the same.
Yes, and thus when we change it within first, as within, so without, in the perfect system that it is. So yes, that's really a really grand way to articulate that.
There is no sense in building unless you have a solid foundation to build upon. In other words, unless you have the solid foundation within where you understand, like the work you are doing currently, allowing people the opportunity to become more self-aware, essentially, about how their body is responding, how their thoughts are infiltrating and affecting their behaviors, how their outlook on life as a whole, their idea of their own connection to something bigger and grander than life just on earth, understanding and bringing into people's awareness the wholeness of who they are by dissecting it essentially into different components and then reintroducing it is the best starting point for many in order to be able to put their pieces back together, to recreate their operating system. So we congratulate you for the work that you are doing. We use the word congratulations lightly, but we would like you to realize that the support that is being offered to you is much grander than the party of 12. Yes? These are your focal points. These are your heavy hitters, let's say. But the work you are doing, the work you are bringing forth into the world, the impact that you are making on the planet is in perfection of what you are seeking. In other words, the driving force within you at this point in your life is to bring forth a clearer understanding of how the human family, of how the planet can live in cohesion. Yes? You are doing this. You are doing this well. We would like to offer you our sincere congratulations for the work that you are doing and for your efforts to continue to do it.
Thank you so much. That really means a lot.
One person at a time, one thought at a time, one moment at a time. Many of you have the overarching idea that all needs to be fixed now. And that becomes overbearing. That becomes overwhelming. That becomes too consuming. That becomes unrealistic. Therefore, it's easier to just back away completely and carry on with your life in the exact same way, in the exact same fashion, drinking coffee out of the exact same cup at the exact same time of day, going to the exact same job. And we're not saying that there's anything wrong with this. We are merely suggesting that in order to change the world, you need to change yourself first.
Yes. Well, and I feel like on a personal level that I have committed my life from the time it began to emerge from me till all the way through till healing my own illnesses, my own mental instabilities, using the very process that Einstein has brought through and having it work so brilliantly to heal me so brilliantly. And just as an aside, I've done this work for a very long time, but in 2011, I stopped everything and stayed home in Lake Superior where they were trying to put a 22-mile open pit iron ore mine, in the middle of the Bad River Indian Reservation and the Kakagan Sloughs and on the shores of Lake Superior. And so I gave up my life for about 3 solid years, just being a journalist and being, you know, testifying and being an activist and doing blah, 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 blah. And through that time, it's not that I didn't live this, but my focus was so much somewhere else about, and we stopped the mine. But halfway into that, I had to stop because I was so burnt out. And I had to force myself to say, you know, we have to put a more spiritual perspective on this. Because frankly, it was terrifying to watch the government get taken over in my state and force this mine on us. But I did the work. And the mine left. Which is not to say I did that, but I did that.
So then and say it. You did that. You did not put your life on hold, as you say. You continue to live your life. There is no such thing. You cannot possibly put your life on hold. How can one put their life on hold? Putting your life on hold means that you choose to leave this life, leave your physical body, and return to the non-physical, yes? So you continued to live your life, but from a different vantage point, from a different perspective, from one that seemed more human, yes, less spiritual perhaps, but for the betterment of the world as a whole. And there are times in one's life where this focus might become more prominent than doing simply inner work, finding peace, finding joy. That's all lovey happiness, and that all needs to be nurtured as well. But there is also a planet around you that requires your love to the degree that you chose to partake in the need of it. Yes?
Yes.
This is very much real. This is very much part of being a human being, of taking a stance when you feel that you need to take a stance, and then removing yourself from that stance when you feel as though it has become too much, that you have done. That is an indication that you have done all you can do. And anything more is simply going to continue to deplete you for the betterment, really, of no one in particular, because you are compromising yourself, knowing that you have done all you can do. And by doing more, you're going to be stressed out, you're going to develop disease, you're going to develop illness, you're going to develop mental complications. So listening to yourself in that time period was essential and very well played out for you, for the world, as it rippled out into the world around you. One mind stopped at this point in human evolution is another check mark in the direction of unification, in the direction of resolving the problems on the earth, allowing for new opportunities to unfold that will create the same necessities for the human being, but to the benefit of the global planet as a whole. There is one message that is unrelated that we would like to bring forth because it came up a few minutes ago, and Einstein would like you to know that it is time for you to take some more credit. It is not all of his to take. He would like you to know that there is a mutual understanding that is going on, a reciprocation going on, that you are just as much a part of this as anyone else. Therefore, it is time for you to step into that a little bit more and allow for the credit to flow towards you as well.
And that is indeed, as 2017 opened, I did my revolution about my conflict of it, and someday we'll talk more about that process because I think you'll find it fascinating. But it was the facing the ownership. I don't even know how to say it because, quite honestly, it's still to this day, obviously, still makes me a little crazy. It's like, I don't know.
Look at it as a partnership. There are partnerships where one partner is perhaps more in the limelight, yes? More of the focal point, typically known as the non-silent partner. Does this make sense?
Yes.
In this case, Einstein technically is the silent partner because you can't necessarily see him, and you are the one out in the limelight delivering the message, and it is easy to say this message is coming from Einstein, which, yes, there is a partnership going on, but it is of an equal partnership. Not all the ideas are coming just from Einstein. This is the message to you from him. You are very much a part of understanding all of it, of developing all of it. It is a working relationship amongst many of you. You are contributing your own ideas. You're not simply just delivering ideas. Is this making sense?
Yes.
And the more you begin to realize and recognize and accept this, the clearer the understanding, the more you will be able to offer through the processes that you are creating. They will be amplified. This is the direction that you are now moving towards, yes? And it is a natural progression. This is a natural next step for you, yes?
Yes. Yes.
We would like to hear just a little bit more enthusiasm.
Well, I'm contemplative. It's just really resonating with what I said when I faced the new year. It was like, you have to step up and you have to step up. But it's hard for me to, it's hard for me to, well, maybe, wait a minute. Maybe that's what you're saying. Is that it really doesn't matter if it's Einstein. You know, it's information.
No. No, that's not what we're saying. That's true, yes, but that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is your ability to own up to the idea that you have this information. You may not think that you do because you don't have the scholarly background behind you to support it. So yes, in a sense, it's not about where it's coming from, but this is more about you and your accepting of your intellectual creations that don't require the scientific background. Of course, the knowledge and gaining and reading and writing and listening and all of that is contributing to who you are. We are talking simply about your ability to say, yes, these are some of my ideas that I am working on with Einstein. Now we are really pushing you, aren't we?
Well, yep, I have to admit that if I say it in that way, I have a body shock that runs through me and kind of zaps me behind the eyes. It feels like a little bit like a wet towel being slapped. Like, yep, me and Einstein are cooking it up.
He's very much enjoying the stirring of the pot. He's unable to stir it with you when it is just you and him communicating. This is fun for him to be able to stir the pot, stir your inner pot and get you going, get you moving, get you realizing that this is a partnership. It is not all him or the group of 12 or the group of 37 or the group of 137. You are very much an integral aspect of this and of all of the creations. So allow yourself to be shocked. Allow yourself to be whipped with that wet towel as you move into a higher degree of understanding about yourself. About yourself. These are not necessarily steps that you need to take today or tomorrow or the next day, but these are steps to start integrating into the new experience of you, into the new patterns of who you are and who you've become and where you're going and what you're delivering to the world and how you're delivering it and your purpose for delivering it. Your purpose for delivering it is not for the purpose of saying, hey, look at me. Your purpose for delivering it is saying, hey, look at me. If I can do this, you can do this. If I can do this, we can all do this. I'm helping create this cutting edge information that is going to help change and is helping to change the consciousness of all human beings. And I'm not even a doctor. I'm not even a scientist. If I can do this, you can do this. Now, do you feel better about it?
No, I feel great about it. I have worked my whole life to be able to finally get the nerve up to talk to the scientists. I mean, I talk to amateur scientists, and I know what everything says, but to talk to the scientists.
You're beyond the amateur level. Yes, you know this, correct? You've moved beyond that. That was good. That was a good starting point. That was good. But you've moved beyond that.
When it comes to science, see, that is what drives me too, is I want science to corroborate, not because I want glory, but wow, what if Einstein really did organize from afterlife, figure out a way to say it, you know, figure out what was going on, figure out the map, could bring in all his friends, yeah, party of a million, you know, party of infinity, whatever.
It is already happening. This is the way science is going. Science is heading in this direction. Science is now listening to those communications because there's been enough of you that have been doing this for long enough that have all the information that is required to back it up. Yes? That's what you like on the planet. That's what human beings require, is some backing up of the information. So there is enough of you now that have received information over the past 150, 200 years, really, most predominantly, that has been tracked and recorded to the degree where that is all you need. So now you are at this point yourself, through your career, through your life, through your experiences with Einstein and the group, that you now have enough information that you don't need the degree. All you need now is the confidence to go along with it. Science is not going to come to you. You need to go to science. Einstein didn't come to you. You went to Einstein, whether you recognize that or not. So we would like to take this opportunity to thank you for coming to us, for allowing for us to bring forth to you communications from those that you are working so closely with. It has been an honor and a pleasure, and we look forward to seeing how your new path unfolds, and we look forward to our next exchange.
Wow, that was pretty cool to witness.
And I have to tell you, Stephanie, and everyone, I've never heard Einstein outside myself. No one's ever done this before. This is so curious. It's so beautiful to hear it outside of me in like human form. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's the difference between coming out of you and going into you.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be like somebody would be like you sitting there and delivering a message to me from Solomon. That would be really cool.
We should try
that. Can we do that right now?
That was, though, just back to your reading. Message-wise, though, was really wonderful. And of course, spot on. And I just love the vernacular and the way they articulated, it really got in there. You know, it was based on my own mind patterns, things I had said, things I had thought. So thank you. It's given me just what I wanted right now too.
Well, and that's the thing that usually happens, and that's why I think it's so profound, is that it is exactly what we need at the moment. And sometimes people will come in and they'll request a reading and they'll come in with this big list of questions and they won't even get to the first one.
But they leave
having answered all the questions without even really asking them, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they said that in the beginning. They said, you think you're here for one thing, but you're probably going to go in a different direction, so we're just warning you.
they don't usually do that, but they did today.
Yeah, that's the first time they voiced it going in.
That's a famous maneuver from Einstein and the Party. That's all the way back to, well, it's in our first book, Diaries, where they say, you think you've come here for one reason, but you've come here for we're going to tell you something else, but you don't be surprised if it's good. So that was really fun for me. It's like, oh.
It seemed as though Solomon in the gang and Einstein in the group definitely are,
hitting it off.
Yeah, well, it was just like their old buddies kind of standing there. I've never really experienced that before, where it was almost like more individual to me. Like I could really just sense Solomon with Einstein, Einstein talking to Solomon, Solomon doing his thing through me to you, but all like so fluid. It's just kind of cool. I can't really explain it very well from my perspective.
We're out of time for the program today, guys. And that was an incredible experience. And it was a pleasure to be a part of, a witness to. But thank you so much for being here with us tonight, Barbara.
And
thank you, guys. And have me back, please.
We're definitely going to have you back.
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely have you back. Did I say that yet?
So I think you're coming back.
All right, I'll be back. Thank you.
Well, thanks again, everyone, for tuning in with us tonight. We look forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks as we will have with us another amazing guest. For those of you who'd like to learn more about Stephanie and Solomon, go to our website at stephanie-banks.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at solomonlive.com. Thanks again, everyone, and have an amazing week.